The views and opinions expressed by guests of the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Joey and Len or the program.
Friends and enemies, welcome back to another episode of the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast here on the CBP Media Network. My name is Joey, as always, joined by my friend and co-host Len. Buddy, what is going on over there? Great day to be a Bitcoiner, wouldn't you say?
I think so. Unless you're looking to stack some more, then you're probably a little pissed off that the price action was what it was. Because honestly, for me, I have my stacking goal for 2024, and this price action, not happy with it in that regard. But you know what? Another side, I'm happy because it's just solidifying the fact that Bitcoin is the next big thing. It's actually the big thing right now and for the future. How are you, Joey?
I'm great, man. It was a good day, good weekend. Getting warmer out. I was just saying to you before we went live here, just got back from taking Moose for his, third walk today. Guy's got nothing but energy, that little pup. So he's taking a lot of my time wandering around the neighborhood. He's got a little fan club. My wife was telling me that these two old ladies stop her pretty much every day in the park here in Dundas to try and give him a treat. And she's had to stop taking him because he's got some soft turds once in a while, and they're not cleaning up the soft turds. We are, so no more treats from strangers in the park. But no, things are good, man. Things are good.
Bring the gloves, Joey.
Yeah, exactly. It's hard. Let me tell you, he's a two bagger. I call him. You get your two bags on every walk. Anyway, lots to discuss tonight. Maybe we should start with the sponsors, as we always do. Easy DNS, best place for you to host your content. Okay, your friendly neighborhood registrar. Actually, Len and I just renewed our domain. We're going to be around for a while. So we renewed our domain. We're posting there. We're bull posting. Gold is not as good as Bitcoin posting. AI assisted posting, all sorts of stuff. Mark also has lots of other services over there at EasyDNS. So if you want to do any virtual private server stuff, you can do BTC pay server, Bitcoin node, Nostr relay, nodeless implementation, among other things. Mark will help you with that. And there's a lot of technical stuff too that's a little over my head, but I'll do my best to kind of get into it here. If you want to move your email over, for example, it's a difficult process, I would imagine, moving from one email server provider to another. Mark can help you with that. They have GPG and PGP email privacy tools over at EasyDNS, which is fantastic. Plus, if you listen to Access of Easy, you know that Mark and team are always implementing new products, iterating on what they've already built to make your experience not only safer, but easier. And you can't really beat that. I got to tell you, me and Len have used them for better part of a year now. I think we're about a year with EasyDNS as the website hoster and a year plus as a sponsor. It's been fantastic. I know a lot of you guys have reached out to Mark already. Please continue to do so. And if you do, tell him we sent you. Use the code CBP Media and you get your first round of buys 50% off, which you can't beat. Once you start, you can't stop. So head over, take a look and see what you think. I'm sure that whatever you're thinking about starting, Mark can help you with it. So definitely take a look. Who else we got?
Oh, sorry.
Who else we got?
I was going to say they have a lot to offer over there at EasyDNS.
Yeah.
If you're looking at, definitely if you're looking to move over, migrate your server for either for web hosting or for email hosting, there's lots of options you have over there. I just can't talk about them enough. They helped us out tremendously. I'm talking about Mark has been tremendous, but his team as well. So, I mean, I just want to talk about them in a high regard because they've earned our trust. Mm-hmm. Not just us, also generally, look how long they've been around. I don't want to make this too long of a spot for them, but they've been really good to us. Anyways, Bull Bitcoin is our second sponsor. And that's another place that you could have many different options available to you. You could buy your Bitcoin. You could sell your Bitcoin. Look at the price behind me right now. A lot of people are probably considering selling your Bitcoin, and Bull Bitcoin has you covered if you do want to sell it. If you're buying your Bitcoin, if you're looking at the fees as of today, they're slowly creeping up. They're not very high, but just slowly creeping up. So Bull Bitcoin gives you the option. You can buy on-chain when fees are cheap, but also with Lightning. That's a good way to buy Bitcoin if the fees are getting high, and Bull Bitcoin gives that option to you. But you could also pay your bills with Bitcoin. Again, Bitcoin price is going up. You might have a big stack of Bitcoin that you start want to spending in the real world. And that may be one place to do it. You could use that to pay your bills, all thanks to Bull Bitcoin. And you could also buy gift cards, another good place to spend your Bitcoin. And by doing so, you could spend that in real world and take advantage of all the gains that you had in the past little while. But the best thing that Bull Bitcoin has is the KYC free. It's the cheapest around here in Canada. It's easy to do. Just load up your go to Canada Post and load up your account with Canadian dollars. And well, with that, you could then buy some KYC free Bitcoin. Open up an account with Bull Bitcoin if you already have not done so. A lot of people are buying. We can see that, which is really good. And if you do that and use our promo code, $21 will be added to your account. No questions asked, as long as you meet the threshold for funding your account. Also, you could go to iwantbitcoin.ca. That's another way to do it.
Jaime Garcia in the chat saying that when you joined the live stream, the video that came up, the ad was for Visa.
I don't know. I'll tell you. Okay.
We have no control over this. That's the reality of it.
You're not Visa, enjoy yours. And actually, they don't pay us fuck all anyway.
You know, the funny thing is there's two different options. You could either monetize the video, click it on or click it off. And either one, if you, whatever, which you select, it's still going to send ads to the viewer. There's no way to ultimately turn it off. I wish there was a way and I would do that, but it's too bad. Screw you, Visa.
Yeah. Is what it is. So let's do a little housekeeping here. Last week was a busy week. We had
Gabe, Bitcoin Advisors.
From Bitcoin Advisors. Very good interview. Gabe was a guy we met at a meetup. I think I've only met him once or twice. Good guy. Smart guy, works in finance and is trying to get people onboarded. He's got a couple of good videos on his Twitter feed of him doing his best onboarding in his local area, I suppose, or around where he lives or where he works, which is nice. So that was a good interview. I did Hervoye Morich's TNT radio show on Thursday night. That was a fun rip. His team there, very professional, always happy to talk with him. And I think he's going to become a friend of the show. He's a guy who's really plugged into a lot of the stuff going on. I recommend checking out his Geopolitics and Empire podcast. He's not yet. You rescheduled with the Karadza brothers, right?
Yeah, my daughter has been ill for the past. Okay. She's good now. She's back at school. But last week, she was off the whole week from school. In fact, I think it was family day two and a Monday. Yeah. So she didn't have to go to school.
How many cold card videos did she make while she was off?
Zero. She was under the weather, Joey. There was nothing we could do with her.
It's not going to fly. This is not going to work for the network. Okay. We got to figure this out. We need content. Really is.
I know. I got to crack the whip harder, especially given the fact that the last video I titled it a 10-year-old and she's only going to be 10 for another, less than 2 months. So I got to,
Not as impressive when they're 11. Is that what you're saying?
I think so. I think that's the case.
And it gets less impressive every year.
I have either two or four videos between those two that I want to do with her. And we'll just have to. Yeah, the first one took a while to get to do. So, we'll see.
We'll get them done. I was saying one before we started that I want to reconfigure this room. You guys might notice I'm sitting a little closer to the camera today, try and create some depth. I got to mess around with this stuff. If you have any interest in me making a video on how to do a home studio on what I would consider to be on a budget, like we didn't spend a lot of money on AV gear. It's just kind of about which gear you bought and where you stick it. If you want to see that, I'll make the video because I want to learn how to do some video editing anyway. So you let me know. And if it's something you guys want, I will do it. This week on the show, who do we have on Wednesday?
Oh, man. Who do we have on this Wednesday? Oh,
high hash rate. Dan and
hash rate.
Yeah.
And Dan and Mike. Yeah. So Mike was a tough nut to crack last time. And when I was on their show, he was a very quiet. I want to see if I could get him to break out of his shell. And I look forward to chatting with them because, maybe they could spark one up while they're on with me. I can't guarantee that, but I'll see if they're willing to do that. But the high hash rate boys are going to be coming on Wednesday at 7 p.m. If you want to hear them, and come on in. And if you have any specific questions you want to hear them asked, directed to them, let me know. I'll be happy to ask them. So that's going to be a fun interview.
Yeah, looking forward to that. We are booking guests out in April and May right now.
Yeah,
we
have, that's my we have bad. Sorry.
No, it's okay. That's good, buddy. I'm happy to chime in on an interview whenever you need, as long as you give me a couple of days notice. You don't have to rip for 7 more weeks if you don't want. If you guys want to see certain guests, let us know. We're at the point now where we can get, I think, I don't want to jinx it, but more or less anybody not named Michael Saylor without too much difficulty. I have a few names in mind. One that I haven't told Len about that he's going to not love, but I'm going to do it anyway because we're 50-50 shareholders in the corporation. So
it looks like a boycott is going to be going on.
I don't think you're going to be in the chat for that one.
Let me guess. Is it initials DB?
Yeah.
I have no idea why you would want to give somebody on who has that type of background a forum which we built. Well, we have built this. This is one we, nobody else has done it besides us.
Yeah, he's gonna come with Mark Goodwin, I think. I'm gonna take both of them at once. And I want to talk to them about a few things. And I'm gonna be critical of a number of strategies they've employed. I think they would appreciate that. And I also want to talk to them more about some of the things we've seen in VC-related Bitcoin stuff, because this seems to be popping up all over the place. If I listen to some of the, I mean, I don't want to go too deep on this, but a lot of the podcasts I listen to now, suddenly talking about Bitcoin investments and investing in Bitcoin companies. And maybe it's just a blind spot for you and me, but I don't see that many Bitcoin companies like just popping up. So I want to know what their VC arm is doing, because they have a VC arm there at Bitcoin Magazine. Outside of
UTXO management or something?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So outside of the Ordinal stuff, what are they investing in? I want to know, because those guys, whether I like it or not, and whether I agree with all their investment strategies or not, have the firepower to make or break probably a small company. So I want to know what they're looking at. And also, I really like Mark Goodwin. Mark Goodwin was on the show before, and he's doing a lot of work on CBDCs. I don't know, Len, if you listened to him and Whitney Webb at all do the circuit recently. They did Marty's show, McCormick's show, talking about a lot of the tie-ins the CBDCs have to modern like wealth structures and where you can find some of these connections in Bitcoin and crypto as well. And I've enjoyed listening to that. It's good information to know. It's kind of a know your enemy type thing. And I would recommend people listen to Mark and Whitney. So I don't know when they're going to come, but they're going to come. And I'm going to try and make that a valuable episode for everybody. We have Floyd Marinescu coming on in the summertime as well in May, who's Mr. UBI, Mr. Land Value Tax, right?
Yes, that's both. He's both. He is both, but I associate him more towards the latter.
He's both. And so him and I are going to have a few disagreements. He may actually be in this chair when he comes to the show. And, you know, like always, I'll have a beer. I'll buy him dinner if he wants. And we'll see where we agree and where we disagree. But I'm looking forward to that show as well.
And if you want to buy him dinner, let's make this like an
universal basic dinner.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a better way of doing it. We all chip in our little part. And
I don't know how that would work. From each according to their means and to each according to their need. Is that that's the slogan for anyway? So that's going to be good. But I want to know if you guys have any other guests in mind, send them to me, DM them or mention me, like at mention me on Twitter or whatever. At mention, am I a boomer or what? And hit me with the names, people you want to see on the show. Like I said, we are booking now into April, May, summertime. You might see a lot of Len and I because people are on vacation. So maybe it would be harder to get guests then. But for now, let's say April and May.
We'll do an outdoor episode.
You got to come to my house and do an episode. Bring your computer and come to my house.
We'll do it in, how's the back here? Let's set it up. Let's do it there.
We can do wherever you want.
Hell yeah. There you go. Could we have a bonfire and everything? We might as well do the whole nine yards.
I gotta
set
it up. You help me build the deck and we'll record on the deck. Anyway, look, we're going long on BTC.
I got some boost still.
Or CBP. Okay, yeah. Hit us with the boost.
I blame this going long all on DB, by the way. So this is a Mo BTC Dick, 550 sats. Thank you very much. I ordered my cold card Q lads, and I gotta say, I'm absolutely stoked. Very excited to mothball my ledger. And nice. Yeah, I think that's a really good idea to mothball your ledger. I know of some other person in our Discord that also did the same very recently, but not with the queue, with a cold card. Mo BTC Dick does another one, 550 sats second time. He says, let's get those boost ups, plebs. So, yeah, because last week we got no boost. It was all stream sats.
No one wants to part with the money now.
No, but they streamed us the same amount of sats. Like we didn't get any more, any less in that week. It was just odd that nobody wanted to send a message. Like I said, turn off the streaming of the sats. Send us a note. Even decrease the amount that you would normally send in the streaming side of things. You come out ahead and at least you send a message that we can read here.
Yeah.
Mix, 1,000 sats. Maybe you could pay the switchboard operator with boosts. That's an option.
I'll talk to my wife. My wife does pottery classes on Monday nights during the podcast anyway, so I doubt she'll give that up in favor of running the board.
And we have somebody in mind we should bring on to do the switchboards. We'll talk about this later. Bobo Tummy, 1,000 sats. First time I disagree with Joey. True Detective Season 4 was at least 7.5 out of 10.
You think? 7.5? Oh, man. I got it. Give me... Okay, so I've had some time to think on True Detective Season 4. My wife's giving me a hard time. She's like, you don't like it because it's a female lead. That's not true, okay? I played Horizon, both Horizon games. It's a female protagonist. I've liked other shows and movies with a female protagonist. That's not the problem. My problem is that I think if you gave that show a fair shake and took off the True Detective veneer, you would like the show. It'd be a good kind of detective show, sci-fi, kind of supernatural stuff. But True Detective's not meant to be that. And it hasn't been that in the last 3 years. And maybe I'm gatekeeping a little bit on the True Detective side of things, but come on. Like, you can't tell me that that was better than season 1, season 3, Season two, I give you the Vince Vaughn one. Didn't love that one, but I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. I can't remember what I gave it. Maybe I gave it like a 3 or 4. Maybe I'll bump it to a 5, 6.
That's still a huge disparity between his 7.5 to your 5.
Get me over 7. You're not getting me over 7. No way. Oh. Everyone Jeff should be watching Love is Blind now anyway. Your focus should be on the most recent season of Love is Blind, which is incredible garbage TV. Story for another time.
Anyway, Jeff Stark, 2,112 stats. And he said, I boosted 2,112. Thank you for that. He said, thank you both for great, thoughtful content with a healthy dose of fun. Now, Joey, he poses a question here.
Go.
He says, I must have missed something recently. He says, what's up with the name change for some of those episodes? And all he can say is,
listen, you will notice that Do you want to talk about this? Should we talk about this?
Maybe self-preservation.
Maybe not the name change, but do you want to talk about the back catalog a little bit? Because I'm getting, like, I've already had a couple of people reach out and they have questions about videos and whatnot. So
only one has reached out to me and I've made a, I made it live. So no, I mean, what could I say? If you want to go ahead and take a stab.
You will notice that we pulled down most of, if not all, the old content for now. I'm not going to say why. I'm not going to say for how long. But I will say that if you want to see something from that catalog, something specific, don't make me hunt something down or ask you for an episode number. I don't have time to look. But if you remember something and you're like, what did they say about that? I want to see. Just shoot me a message and I'll send you the video. Actually, I have to send Taylor Sugar the video from his most recent pod. I forgot to send it to him. I don't have to tell you why. I'm sure you guys can figure out why. But you know, we'll just leave it at that for now. The show is going to continue. The quality is going to remain. Maybe the angle, let's say, will change a little bit. But otherwise, I wouldn't worry about anything. We're cooking over here.
The content's pretty much going to stay the same. Anyways, Bitcoin news, Joey. We got to hit that up.
Let's go. I know you want to talk Slipstream, so you may as well start there.
Well, we could talk about Marathon proving once again to be a shitty actor. They seem to be doing this over and over again. Before we do, we should at least go over their history to give some context here.
Go ahead.
They have a mining pool, right? The Mara pool. It's quite a big mining pool comparatively. So in 2021, so not too long ago, just 3 years ago, they were at that time very proud. And they came out with a very nice announcement that they were fully compliant with the Office of Foreign Assets Control. In other words, they were sanctioning transactions as per that office. And so obviously, how good can this be if you have a mining pool out there sanctioning transactions? Well, not good enough, because what happened, they took a lot of flack and they quickly pivoted as a result of all the flack they got, and they turned around and stopped doing this. So there you go. So they were on side with doing this type of thing, censoring transactions, sanctioning transactions. This is something which is not very Bitcoin-esque, but they were doing this. But, you know, they have every right to do this kind of shit, right? They set this stuff up, but at the same time, miners have every right to point their hash rate to whatever pool they want to choose. And so that's, you could basically vote with your hash rate. Yep. So, and I suggest people that have mining equipment, consider Mara pool as something you don't want to send your hash rate to. But anyways, going further, do you know who's the main sponsor of the Bitcoin and Name Only conference?
Is it Marathon?
Yeah, sure.
It was Marathon. Is it Marathon this year? I haven't looked.
It sure is. I love connecting dots, because, you know, you think about what's this story and again. So anyways, love connecting these dots. And in this past week, so Marathon, they launched to the world another proud announcement from them, a new direct Bitcoin transaction submission service, and it's called Slipstream. And for people that are unaware, they say this is a way to streamline the process to add complex transactions into a block. And this isn't going to be used for transactions that Bob and Alice tend to do. This is something that is beyond that, or Bob and Alice, or vice versa. But anyways, no, Slipstream is going to be used as a way to be paid extra to add trash to a block. That's essentially it. And this is all going to be done out of bounds. And
it's out of band. Yeah, it's all out of bounds.
This is going to be done by somebody goes to them or uses the Slipstream service. Payment is done.
It's OTC. It's OTC block space, basically.
It's a way of getting around the mempool. You're not broadcasting and just kind of doing it this way, it seems. At least to me, I could be wrong. But, and so Mara Marathon, they're a large Bitcoin mining company, one of the largest publicly traded Bitcoin mining companies out there. And they're going to be leveraging their position, not only as a large Bitcoin mining company, but also as a pool operator, a relatively large one. And they're going to try to use this as a way to make, well, this all a reality. And they say that they're going to be able to charge a premium to have these complex transactions added to the next block. And, you know, as I mentioned, thereby it's going to be circumventing the mempool. So normally, if you're going to do a transaction, is broadcast through hopefully your node, sent out, added to mempools everywhere, and eventually a miner picks it up and adds it to the next block. No. Slipstream is something different. So the incentive is the potential to earn money. They are a business. They have every right to do this. That is fine.
They're legally required. They're public, right?
To make money? Is that a legal requirement? I think that's...
I don't know. They're leaving stuff on the table. They're risking their executive positions by not doing this, I would say. But anyway, go ahead. Keep going.
So that's the incentive here. They're going to get paid more money. But who pays the cost here? Well, aside from the shitcoiners that are actually going to pay real money, actual money to use the service, there's also another hidden cost. And it's the network itself that could potentially get clogged more frequently as absolute trash is mined into the next block. And if you take a look at these Slipstream transactions, and if you go on any block explorer to take a look at what it looks like, they got a fuckload of outputs.
Mm-hmm.
And that, what does this mean? And I'm going to just quote, I'll try to quote Guy Swan as best I could. I hope he did quoted this one, but he's a guy that I associated with. He says, they're going to be taking a shit in a public park. That's what essentially they're doing here. In this case, it's going to be the Bitcoin network. That's the reality. But as a side note, does anyone remember not too long ago, September of last year, when Marathon mined an invalid block?
Mm-hmm.
You remember talking about this, Joey, not too long ago?
Yeah.
And I'm wondering the reasons why that happened. If they were running something like this, right? They say that they were running an experiment. This is from them with a developmental pool and research potential methods to operate their operations. And so was this a mistake on their part? Were they running Slipstream behind the scenes at that time and something didn't go as planned? And they, as a result, they mined an invalid block? I don't know, but it's something to consider. This happened just not too long ago, September of last year. Marathon was responsible for an invalid block. So on the horizon, what we have, aside from this, is something called Runes. It's a new project. I don't really want to fucking, I can't believe I'm talking about this, but it's best to at least acknowledge that it's
coming
there.
Soon to CBP, Casey Rodimer talking Runes.
So this Runes thing, along with Slipstream, it threatens to jack up fees once again. Right now, if you look at the fees, they're relatively low. They're manageable. You could easily consolidate your transactions, your UTXOs with very little cost. But as fees go up, that's lost. So here's what I suggest. And this is aside from the usual stuff where you say buy KYC free Bitcoin, use a cold card, cold storage, a whole nine yards. Consider consolidating your transactions ASAP before it's too late. The best time to do it was yesterday. The second best time to do it is today. I honestly believe that if you do that, you do it right, you will be thanking yourself. Your future self will be thanking yourself for doing it. If not, you'll be kicking yourself. You didn't do this. Now, side note here, what size transaction do you want to consolidate to? You hear 1 million sats, whatever you think is best. You may want to have multiple 1 millions or even some that's larger, whatever you think is best. But the reality is there's an opportunity now to consolidate your UTXOs on a cheap. Do it, because this rune stuff, once it gets goes live at block 84000, so it's the halving, it's going to be April 20th, whatever it may be. So you could actually say when the halving takes place, this runes project becomes live. That's when potentially fees may spike. Do your UTXOs long before. Do it today. If you need help, I'll help you out and do it. But that's all I got to say. Marathon, bad actor once again.
Why do you say, I mean, I get why you're saying bad actor, but what do you suggest they do instead?
In terms of not doing Slipstream, in terms of not mining sanctioned transactions, in terms of not employing lobbyists that are lobbying, God knows what are they trying to do? Like, I mean, there's a number of different things that I just said right
the
there.
Slipstream, the Slipstream thing to me is like, it's honestly minor, no pun intended, because they've been doing this anyways, I think. And I have in my notes that, like, you know, they own the pool, so they can do really whatever they want. They have a ton of hash rate. The mining pool is theirs. So yeah, like they're going to do this stuff. I expect Hut to start doing this too at some point. Hut, I don't think, is running its own pool now, but has something like 10% of the hash. So like these guys are all going to start their own mining pools. Brains and these other pools, if I had to guess, honestly, are not long for this world. All the majors are going to do this because this is where the money is. You can then use out of band fees, you know, this kind of OTC block space setup to maximize your profit. I mean, what was Marathon up today in private markets or public markets? Is 22, 23%? Is a lot. Like people
comparatively to other, like that you're taking
everything was up. I can see that. I can see that. But
it's not a result of this announcement. It's a result of Bitcoin going up 6% in a day.
If people didn't like the announcement, maybe it wouldn't have been in the top two or three risers, but it was. Like generally the public markets are telling you what they want from Marathon, what they like about Marathon. And people want this stuff. Now, I don't know. You and me don't see eye to eye, I don't think, at least not exactly on this, like this, what is a valid or a good, quote unquote, good Bitcoin transaction. I don't want to go down that road. Personally, we can go down it together here. I don't know if we're going to hold hands and skip on the way down, but we're going to go down the road anyway. The when you say good Bitcoin transaction, like a proper Bitcoin transaction, like how are we supposed to define that going forward? Are we not making the same judgment that they are making at Marathon or Ordinals people are making or anyone else is making when they put arbitrary data into a UTXO? Like, are we not both judging good to be something different and just deciding that we want a picture or whatever I mean, these guys are calling it complex transactions. That's obviously bullshit. It's, you know, Ordinals and other kind of what I view as just kind of worthless info data. But at the end of the day, like it's in consensus. And so what, again, like I appreciate that people don't like this, but I'm curious, like what is the alternative here? When you have public miners, you have fiduciary responsibilities, you have people's executive positions at risk, you have shareholders who want to be appeased. What is the alternative? They're looking at the game theory. They're playing it the best way they know how. And honestly, like if you look at this as two sides, I don't think that either of us really view it like this for the moment. Maybe you do, I don't know, but I don't think of us as playing a different game than Marathon is, right? I think my transaction that doesn't have junk data is one that's important or more important to me. They think the one that has the junk data is more important, and they're both within consensus. Someone is willing to pay, the block space gets more valuable, and Bob's your uncle, right? It just kind of cycles through. Now, the other part of me says that even the people who hate this stuff have to admit that the cure for expensive block space is expensive block space. And you end up with prices coming down because people just can't afford it. They're like, oh, wait to mint. And although that number may settle higher as more of these industrial miners or we'll call them industrial miners. As more of the industrial miners start to do out-of-band transactions, I mean, at what point do we have to talk about whether or not Bitcoin block space was just too cheap in the last 3 or 4 years? We didn't have global adoption in the last 3 or 4 years. Now you have an ETF. You have people talking about adding it to balance sheets. You got everyone talking about fair accounting rules and stuff like that. If we really think this is going to grow, like you're not going to be able to settle on layer one anyway. Ordinal is going to be the least of your worries. Like, and it's funny, people are talking about like million sat transaction, 5 million sat transaction. I think those are good numbers today, maybe for the next year or 2 years, who knows, right? But if this thing goes to $1 million, Len, it's not going to be enough, right? Like you're going to need more in your UTXO than that. You're going to be paying tons in fees because everybody's going to want the most valuable block space, which is what we have. And everyone's going to want to get their data through as quickly as possible, which is their rights, their prerogative. And they'll pay whatever they think it's worth. And so I don't understand why we think that like we have a say over what the network does. Now there's the fix the filters people who will say, change your node to do certain things. Fine, do it. But at the end of the day, if that's what we're doing, then are we not censoring transactions? Like this is the road.
You are essentially having your mempool clear up the garbage you don't want and having it run more efficiently because we don't have an infinite amount of resources on our computer running a node. And as a result, you're flushing out the junk and just keeping
what's slippery path. I think it's a slippery path.
You may call it it's not a censorship by just deleting it from my mempool. It's still out there. It's just making my mempool clean of the stuff I don't need. I don't have unlimited RAM. I only have a limited amount of RAM and I'm only allocating 300 megabytes for the RAM pool. Why should I have X amount of that 300 for this junk?
Do you have a view on whether or not Blockspace was underpriced for the last 5 years?
I have no view on that.
I really think that this is something we should be talking about more. Maybe not me and you, but as like in general, the Bitcoiners, the ones who are like the most zealous about Blockspace now, you know, these are the same people, generally speaking, and I would include myself in this, that were preaching about how this thing was going to a million and was going to become global money. Did you really think you would settle for a penny forever? I don't know.
It wasn't going to be there forever, given the fact that, you know, what is it? 5 to 7 transactions per second, whatever the fuck it is. I don't know if it's been improved, but it's not possible to maintain that. Now, I mean, you're right. This is all, you know, it's within consensus. They could do what they want. They're a business, like I say, but what we could do is we could, you know, educate people. If miners then want to point their hash rate to a different pool, which decreases the hash rate that Mara pool gets, that's one way, and you could look at that. And that could be one way for the general community to vote as there's displeasure in this type of move. We could look at what Ocean is doing as the exact opposite. And if more and more hash rate goes to them, that is a vote for what they are doing. So that is one. So yeah, it's within consensus, and just because it's within consensus and everything doesn't mean it's good for everything. Like we could still judge something regardless if it's in consensus or not. I mean, a packet is a packet when you send it over an internet, but you know, a DDoS attack is still a valid packet that you're sending, but the recipient is going to be fucked in the end for not being able to. So you can judge that as being a bad packet that you're sending, but it's still within the consensus of TCP/IP.
There's moral judgments to be made, but at the end of the day, like, are we not a code is law kind of group here? Or like what values are we pulling for? Is this not a currency for everyone, or is it a currency for people I agree with only? Like what are we doing? This is the thing I don't get.
It's whatever you choose it to be, and I choose it for what I think it is. And they could choose it what they want, and everybody could do what they want, point their hash rate this way, set up their node that way, and everything can be done on an individual basis, and then let the chips fall where they may.
How much of a concern do you have about the industrial miners all starting their own pools and taking out of band transactions? Because to me, this is the next, I think it's the next logical step. Honestly,
I don't know what is the cost associated with setting
me up neither. Pool. Me neither. But no if Marathon can do it, then my guess is that any of them can do it.
Well, Marathon's been at it for a while. It's not like they've done it. And so you're not going to have some smaller Bitcoin miner out there. And I don't want to name any of that, maybe small, setting up their own pool. There is one that I do know that is publicly traded. Small Bitcoin miner does have their own pool. But in reality, I don't know if that's feasible. Maybe it is. I haven't put enough thought into this. What is the cost? What is the implications for setting it up? And I just don't know. So
I don't know.
Maybe that's going to happen. Maybe it's not.
Presumably the other thing too is like, presumably if you get, like, I'm a little out of my wheelhouse here, but stay with me. Presumably, if you get a lot of miners who want to just add hash rate because they want to get these blocks and get the fees for out-of-band transactions, more hash rate comes online, and mempools clear faster, block space gets cheaper, and the cycle kind of rinses and repeats, right? I think I have that right. That's kind of the mechanism through which this works. And so the other part of me says that, you know, we can kind of wax poetic and have these philosophical discussions about whether or not, you know, this block is a better block than another block, or this data is good or bad, or, you know, is this global settlement money or is it JPEG settlement money? But at the end of the day, it's just going to go. Like, the blocks are just going to keep coming, and whatever the price is at that moment, like, that's the price, that's the value in that moment. And it's just, that's what it is. Like, there's nothing else really to say about it.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
It's a free market.
Yeah. It's a fun, like, academic exercise. And I do like when we go back and forth on stuff, but For the moment, like, I still don't think, don't get me wrong, okay? I think it's so stupid to waste your money on this kind of stuff. And I think people who waste their money on this kind of stuff are going to end up wishing they didn't in the long term. But if they want to waste it and they want to pay, like, well, I don't know, who am I to say they shouldn't do it? Fuck, I don't know. Probably.
Well, for sure. I'll be happy to educate people on how to set up their nodes, that if they want to clear this from their mempool, they could certainly do so. And if miners want to point their hash rate to a pool that doesn't do this, or it's the total opposite like Ocean, they have every opportunity to do so. Even garage miners, Where are you going to send your hash rate to? Well, you could do it, you know, to Mariupol, or you could do it somewhere else. Let's see what happens. Let the chips fall where they may moving forward. And I suspect that being a bad actor, well, I don't think it's going to be all good for them moving forward.
What is the cost going to be in your view? I'm curious about this. Like, what is the end game here?
No, if there are people that truly are believe the way I do, and they're publicly traded, or if they're miners, then they might consider pointing their hash rate somewhere else just because they don't want the network to be slammed with crap. So even though it potentially may impact their bottom line, who the heck knows? It just, it's more of a principle thing. So we'll see what happens. Again, time will tell.
Yeah. Does anyone in the chat know if Runes is an airdrop? Because I'm dying to sell whatever airdrops I get from all this nonsense immediately. I'll race you to the sell button.
Let's move on, Joey, because we're 35 minutes in and there's still lots to talk about.
That was an important topic. We had to go deep on that one.
So remember we discussed that the U.S. Department of Energy, and they were asking miners to voluntarily disclose information with respect to energy consumption. Well, the Texas Blockchain Foundation, this is interesting because they found a way to bend over the Department of Energy and fuck them in the ass using an S19 running full bore, because they did so by suing them. And their claim is that the request is an unprecedented and illegal data collection demand. And this was against the whole industry, they're saying. And because, you know, why are they collecting this information? Why are they asking for this information to be sometimes voluntarily or sometimes forced? Because there was one miner in the past that was actually forced in the past 2 weeks. We all know why they're trying to collect this information, but I guess, you know, we'll just leave this unsaid. Little is said about some of the good work that miners do, because, you know, they do take a lot of energy to do their hash rate, to do their hashing away. There's no doubt about that. You can't deny that. But let's look at another way of this, because in Texas, you know, they have unseasonably cold weather periodically, every year, 2 years, three, whatever fucking maybe. These miners over in Texas, they have in the past a request from, I forget the name of the energy corporation there, but anyways, they've diverted energy, electricity from
ERCOT.
Yes. Yep. So they diverted the energy from to their miners to the grid. And so when demand spikes and whatever generated, whatever electricity they normally generate isn't enough, the Bitcoin miners then send it off to ERCOT, get a credit that they could use in the future. So it's not like they're doing it, you know, for free or anything, but still this provides some protection against spikes in demand, and it would cause, you know, people having brownouts, blackouts, whatever the fuck it may be, in very cold weather. And people could potentially, you know, who the heck knows? I don't want to say it, but it could be really bad if you're in a cold without any electricity. And without these Bitcoin miners, you know, this would never happen. So they'd be left in the cold, both figuratively and literally. And so this lawsuit, the Department of Energy, as a result, they temporarily shelved this exercise to collect information on miners, which is really cool. And the thing is it temporary though? That's the question, because, you know, what happens when a lawsuit completes? I'm not sure how long it's going to take to complete, but when it does wrap up, are they going to start this up again? Plus, we have an election happening this year, so there is a chance that the administration may change. And if they do, does that change the Department of Energy's focus? A lot remains to be said what's happening, what's over here, but still something that's developing. And I'm curious to see, A, what's the decision of the lawsuit, and B, what happens after that? Are miners still going to be under the radar for Department of Energy?
They will be for sure. There's a lot to say about this. And Brian Morgenstern, who is what is his position at Riot? I forget now. I have to look. Let me have a quick peek here. Head of public policy at Riot Platforms. I sent him a message and asked him if he wanted to come on. He said he couldn't make it tonight, but another time he's definitely interested in coming to talk with us. So we'll ask him for all the details and some of this sort of ins and outs and nuances on this, but I'll do my best to summarize what I know and what I've heard and what I've read. This is clearly overreach, okay, no matter how you slice it. The most coherent case you can make sort of from a bare bones angle is that the survey is asking for proprietary data that's going to cause problems for competitive advantages across miners, things like PPAs, hardware, stuff like that, how much you're getting for how much you're spending at the very bare minimum, you know, to really give you a 30,000 foot view. This is stuff that you don't have to disclose anywhere else. And the reason you don't have to disclose it, even in stuff like your publicly your public facing disclosures is because it's proprietary. And those miners rely on this stuff. You know, what innovations are you using to get the best bang for your kilowatt hour cost or whatever the case is, right? They shouldn't have to give this stuff up. And it's ridiculous that this was even an ask. The other thing, Len, is that even though some of this stuff is like discernible to the competent researcher, whether you look through public postings or podcasts or whatever, it's not all in one place. And the reason it's not all in one place is because these guys don't want to make it easy. Okay. Like I said before, it's their data and it's stuff that really makes them valuable over their competitors, their competition. The thing that bothers me about this is that the US White House used an emergency designation to push this through. So there wasn't any debate on this. It was a quick, we have an emergency here. Part of the emergency, by the way, was the price action in Bitcoin, like number go up. We need to do something about this right now. And it's clear to me that, you know, the Biden administration and their crypto wing, which is basically run at this point by Elizabeth Warren, I would say, is like very anti-Bitcoin. It's because there's stability problems during peak demand, cited reports of higher prices for electricity for consumers in some of the areas where miners are. CO2 emissions, obviously a problem too, but those aren't the real reasons. You'll remember in the infancy of this program, 2022, we did a segment, a short one probably, before we really had the details on where we should be spending our time when we're talking to each other ironed out. And the White House in 22, during the segment, we talked about how they had just put out their sort of directive on crypto assets. Do you remember this?
No.
Think back. I vaguely remember doing it, but I had to go back and look at the data. In the White House release, it was their goals for digital assets. And data collection was one of them. And in the release, the reason for the data collection on miners was to limit or eliminate Bitcoin mining in the United States. Ta-da! There's your rabbit, right? Pulled it right out of the hat for you. That's 2 years old at this point, and they haven't changed their stance, even as every regulatory agency has given Bitcoin credence and legitimacy through ETFs, through allowing people to trade it, through basically giving Coinbase their blessing as the government's arm in the Bitcoin and crypto space. They still want to limit Bitcoin mining. Completely ridiculous, but that's where they are. They want all the power provision details to be public. And in my view, and actually this is something Morgenstern said too. I was listening to him on Levera last night preparing for the show. The reason you want this stuff public, you want people to know where you get your power, who you get it from, is so you can encourage protests. Like there's no other reason why you would do this except to put a spotlight on these companies and encourage people to do and say things that they wouldn't normally otherwise do unless they were spun up into a zealous mood by a press release from the White House. So this is, in my view, just ridiculous. One thing I haven't heard said, and I'll try and paint the picture for you here. Consider the landscape right now in America. Inflation is high, right? Even though they're being told it's not. Energy prices are high. Isn't it convenient to say to your electorate that inflation is high because people are buying Bitcoin, it's undermining the dollar, and your energy costs are high because Bitcoin mining is driving up those costs, it's taking all the energy off your grid? Wouldn't that be a convenient narrative? It would be.
It's possible. You could paint them in a negative light and create some negative publicity surrounding them, and a lot of it's FUD.
It's all FUD. Like, I mean, eventually this will go, you know, through like a bullet through a flock of doves. Like, you're not going to touch anything with any of these accusations because they don't make sense. But the point is,
hint of truth to that. I'm talking about the latter point. The energy part, there may be like the slightest of truth to that.
Tell me why.
Depending on how the energy is usable. If it's stranded energy, then hell no. But if it's energy that could potentially be sent to the grid, potentially, and it's used for... One could make an argument, maybe a small argument that it could be used. It's causing an increase in your electricity bill, but it's marginal, minuscule at most.
Agreed. And so I kind of like this framing that they would just do this to save themselves being criticized for the two things that are causing Americans arguably the most trouble any American populace has had in the last 25 years, right? They're in a real pinch here in a major way. We'll talk a little later about the gig economy, but a lot of data pointing to people not being able to make ends meet. I'm concerned about this. And I'm looking forward to talking to Brian about this because he's a guy who's obviously like boots on the ground and did work in government for a time on this kind of thing. So for now, we sit and wait. Pierre Rochard is a guy to follow. Brian Morgenstern is a guy to follow. The Blockchain Council in Texas, a group to follow on Twitter for the latest, greatest. And let's find out what's going to come next. The attacks are not going to stop. They're not going to stop. The price is going to get to 60, 70,000 here in the next 6 months or 12 months. And there's going to be a lot of people talking about this. And a dollar that's going to be looking weaker and weaker and weaker. People who are looking more and more and more for ways to make their ends meet. And this is a pretty good, you know, opportunity for crucifixion, let's say, for Bitcoin vis-a-vis the US government. So I'll be paying attention to this one. We all should be.
Brains Pool. Some good news from the people running Brains Pool. And they have announced that they are going to be using Lightning Network for payments.
Mm-hmm.
This is really cool. So they're going to be giving out payments instantly to miners, and they're going to be receiving these awards with no minimums or no fees.
Mm-hmm.
So normally pools, they have a limit of sats that you have to accumulate before you're able to withdraw. So everything you mine, you have to get to that threshold before you can withdraw. Plus, you know, there's going to be a fee associated with it. But with this system that Brains Pool is setting up, apparently there's no minimums, no fees. And thinking of this, just, you know, looking at what they're doing here, this might make heating your spaces at home with an S19 a little bit more appealing. Now, you're never going to make money doing this, but if you're going to use electricity to heat the home anyways, or at least that particular area, why not consider getting an S9? You get a steady stream of sats doing so. Just a food for thought. But for those that are interested in taking advantage of this type of new feature, you have to reach out to the Brains support desk. And once you do, they're going to tell you the following. The manual payouts and automatic payouts will be disabled. Only Lightning payments will be enabled. So you don't have an option at that point. It's only going to be Lightning payments moving forward. You have to provide your choice of LN URL. So you have to provide whatever address you have to, because there's a list of wallets that they do support. Make sure you have it before moving forward. And you also have to accept and understand, which they say that there could be hiccups. They say it's beta, so they're learning through this. So it's going to be testing. So if you have a large amount of hash rate, I would not suggest taking advantage of it just in case there are hiccups. You're going to lose out on any potential gains. But if you have a little bit, like, you know, say an S19 heating a particular area of your home, or several of them doing the same, maybe consider this. You get, you know, steady stream of payments to your Lightning wallet, and, you know, no fees, no minimum. Good stuff from Brains. I like it.
For people who want to get into home mining, you know what Kaboom Racks is selling S9s for right now?
With the PSU, the power supply unit?
The bundle. Yeah, the bundle.
I'll guess 80 US.
66 US.
There you go. It's just, it's not, it really, like, the hash rate goes up, the difficulty jumps, and it makes these,
It's a hobby. It's a hobby now more than anything else, right? So, but it's, you know, fun to mess around with it if you want. It's cool. I like this idea from Brains. Contrast this to the Marathon Pool, of course. You know, what they're doing, what they're putting their focus on.
See, there you go. So let the market decide. And maybe let somebody,
this is
going to be for, let's be honest, this appeals more for the garage miners than anybody else. If you're a large scale mining operation, why would you consider this? You're going to meet the minimum threshold really quick, hours, a day or something, but maybe hours. Anyways.
Yeah. Interesting. Good stuff. If Gandalf still worked for Brains, we could have brought him on and talk about this, but he no longer wears that banner, right? Or March.
Thanks, Gandalf.
Come on.
Well, you know what? We'll talk about the European Central Bank and these no coiners. They're at it again. And they're talking about Bitcoin being a failure.
I love this.
And people, they're being subjected to fraud and manipulation thanks to Bitcoin. It's just like this stuff never happens in the fiat world, and it's only exclusive to Bitcoin. And whatever. These people, they're going so far. I can't believe they've done this. They said that there's the fair value of Bitcoin is zero.
Amazing.
And funny, because there is an actual cost to mine Bitcoin because it's proof of work, right? So you have to actually use electricity, cost money to generate electricity, or use electricity from the grid to mine Bitcoin. So there's a cost to mine Bitcoin. Can the same be said about the euro? I'd love to know how much work is involved in increasing the supply of the euro. They won't give an answer, because we all know there's fuck all work required. So if you want to compare the two, one is proof of work and one is not. Okay, let's humor them. Let's assume the fair value is zero. Bitcoin is worthless. All right, if something has no value, I'd love to know why EU members, they tax the gains on Bitcoin when sold.
Mm-hmm.
If there's no value, it would be worth nothing, and there'd be no applicable taxes. But that's the fact you have countries out there and each have a different tier of taxes that they apply, they do apply these taxes in your capital gains. Well, there is fucking value here. And these guys are just blowing smoke.
I'm not even going to talk that much about this. I tweeted out what I thought about it. A lot of other people did. Friend of the show, CJ Constantinos, reminding Lagarde and her ilk that fair value in Bitcoin is something that's pretty widely debated. But no matter where you fall on that spectrum in the debate, you ain't going to fall on zero. Zero ain't it. You know, I think he tweeted out or someone else tweeted out, you know, if it's zero, just make a bunch and don't worry about it. Send the price to nothing and get people out of the asset. Problem is you can't. Like, this is the thing, right? Like, there's so much more education now about what value means and what money is that the ECB gets community noted on Twitter immediately. And every big financial account tweets it out, like, in an instant. Everyone wants to dunk on the ECB. Why should we give these guys any credence, any credit for anything? You know, I was listening to a podcast the other day. Can't remember which one, but there's like a growing chorus of people. This might just be my bubble. I admit that, but a growing chorus of people who think that the euro is not going to make it through the decade. And if I look and see, you know, European kind of quote unquote strength over there, like what, you know, not a lot of stuff give you a lot of promise. I don't think I would bet on the euro making it out of the 2030s. Again, it's an example of someone who doth protest too much, as the saying goes. Freddie New pointed out to me that they even stole the name of that article from some book. They didn't even bother to check if someone had used that title before, or maybe they did and just assumed that no one else would look. Like, just
AI generated the title.
It's just terrible all around, though, Len. Like, come on. No, you're not even trying.
Of the G7 countries, what would you think? Like, if you had to bet money on this, or Bitcoin on this, which one do you think which currency would fail first? And you can use whatever definition.
The euro. The euro is an interesting one because there's obviously G7s tied up in that. I think that you could make a case that, like, I don't know.
Japan, Canada.
Japan's an interesting one, right? I think Bitcoin just made a high in yen, right? Pretty sure. So
a lot of these currencies are getting devalued, unfortunately. This money coming into the US dollar. The Mexican peso.
Are you on whatever that currency is? I don't know. I don't know, man. If I had to pick a G7, and then the other thing is, like, how do you define?
I have no answer, by the way.
No, me neither. How do you define a failure? Look at
that's what I said. You use your own definition for this.
You're pretty close here in Canada, I would say. You know, your dollar's been falling against the US dollar basically steady now for a decade. It's falling against every other major currency. You can't really leave the country because you earn less. So even if you have enough money to go on a trip, as soon as you currency convert, unless you're converting to like the Cuban CUC or something, you know, you're just not going to do well on the back end of that conversion. Plus you get taxed on the Forex trade. Like, in Canada, you're really, you know, you're in it, man. Like, the monitor's getting hot here as far as the currency goes, I would say.
A failure could be decades out too. And that's another thing. Like, who the heck knows when it's
going to be? And like, the thing is, once it fails, like, what does fail? Like, you can't buy anything. I think the signpost for that's what I was going to say. You can't buy anything domestically with the domestic currency. Everyone wants something else. Then that's the failure. But that's the last stop on the, you know, on the bus route to failure. There's a lot of stops before that. A lot of people ringing the bell on the bus. Do buses still have that pull down rope? I haven't been on a bus in a long time.
Yeah. But somebody that wants to ring the bell is Reddit when they IPO, and they said that they have purchased some Bitcoin. Thank you very much. And they also purchased some ETH as well. So fucking morons. And they said they're doing this investing with their excess reserves, and they're putting it into Bitcoin and not shitcoin. So they've been deploying this strategy since 2022. It's been a while since they've been doing this. Mm-hmm. And it was learned that this was the case because they are planning to go ahead with an IPO, and this information has to be disclosed. And so if they have been DCAing or whatever they've been doing since 2022, it's quite likely their purchase of Bitcoin has increased in value.
They're killing it.
So that's good for them. Now, what I have to say is, more than anything, nobody's really talking about this, and this is for a reason, is if this news happened a couple of years ago, two, three, 4 years ago,
would have been huge. Yeah.
Now it's just like, whatever. And I just wanted to point it out here. This is how far the Bitcoin community, how far that it has advanced, matured, and so forth. Because this news, nobody gives a fuck about it. And we're just giving it just a flyer token over here. But other than that, like, still interesting news, but come on.
Larry Fink is telling CNBC, MSNBC not to report on it. Wants to keep the price low. I just made a couple notes here. One is that they're buying, yeah, like you mentioned, Ethereum and Bitcoin as part of their treasury strategy, which is huge. They also hold some other stuff like Matic, which I think they have as part of a token program they tried to roll out last year or 2 years ago.
Using that and something else. I think it's ETH or something else as a payment system that they want to. That's from what I understand. It could be wrong.
Okay.
On their platform. Who the hell knows?
Interesting. I, on a separate note, how does a company like Reddit IPO? I'll tell you exactly what I wrote down. Weird to me like that a company like Reddit even IPOs, given that the ads are skippable, there's tons of questionable content, and most of the users are anonymous or difficult to target ads to. My best guess is they start changing that allowance or charging for usernames or something. Because you can't even really target ads to Reddit. Like, you could go on Reddit and just make a burner and... Like the ads I get on Reddit never apply to me. Like it's not even stuff I wouldn't even dunk on the ads. It's not even like
the ad should be my interest. Based on the subreddit. That's a very generalized way of doing it. So if you go hypothetically on a Bitcoin subreddit,
let's hit it right now. Business on air here. Where do you want to go? Bitcoin CA?
Yeah.
Bitcoin CA, where I'm a moderator in name only. Let's see. Here we go.
So I'm wondering then they could potentially target ads to that audience. And it would be a very generalized ad. And not to say that they're going to be able to make a profit by doing this, but that's one way they can monetize the system. There could be others. Maybe, as you're saying, selling usernames or paying some sort of subscription service to generate more income. I don't know. This is their puppy, not mine.
I haven't been on Bitcoin CA in a long time. Brandon Green Candle, his posts are getting fucking killed still.
He's not a Canuck.
Get all caps on this. We gotta find out what's going on.
Well, you know what?
Here's an ad. Well, simple. So you're right. That is actually a Bitcoin kind of adjacent ad. Yeah.
Okay, is that enough to put them over the hump to become profitable? I don't know. I don't have enough information about this.
Hard to say.
Who the hell knows? But like, you know,
these guys, presumably the same people who are going to be pumping the Reddit IPO. Are the people who are criticizing Musk for saying that ads are not enough to make Twitter profitable, or Snapchat, you know, not enough ads to make your product profitable. And by the way, they've been right. So like, why should this be any different? And also like Reddit is full of porn. If you go to the homepage or whatever, there's tons of stuff on there, questionable content, like blurred out photos on my Reddit thing. There's blurred out photos every day. If I go to Reddit and just browse the popular page or whatever.
If you could select, there's the option to, take off.
Yeah, that mine is on. It's on blurry photos or whatever. Yeah, I have that on, but that only filters out like explicit 18 plus material. I even get those blurry photos for stuff I follow a couple of fitness subreddits. So once in a while I get like the glow up, posts or whatever. And like, I don't know. Companies have been criticized for less than that. And investors have gotten cold feet over less than that, you know, like presumably Pornhub is making a killing. And yet I don't believe they are public, or their umbrella corporation is public, or you can invest in them as a
public. That's a Canadian company, right?
It is Montreal based. Yeah. I think, or Quebec based. So I like, if you can't invest in that, even though that's probably making a ton of money in advertising, why
would they want to IPO if it's private? Like, you know, if you're doing so well privately, why go IPO?
I guess. Yeah.
I know enough. That there's a reason fair to enough. Do it, and you can just dump the shares in.
Well, there's no $1 trillion private companies. I'll tell you that. That's one reason. So,
then there's very few publicly traded $1 trillion companies as well. So it's not like you're drawing from a huge pool here. So whatever. Let's talk about one last story, I guess.
Sure.
MSTR?
You want to do the buys? Yeah, we can. I should have told SB to come on. Yeah.
Well, we'll do it very quick because they...
SB, if you're watching, send me a DM on Twitter, text me or something. I'll give you
come on in. We'll get you on really quick. It's MicroStrategy, they have acquired another 3,000 Bitcoin. And the average price was a little bit less than $52,000. What's the price of Bitcoin now? So whatever it is. I mean,
52, right? 53?
50. So that, no, it's higher than it was like 54, isn't it?
We went now? 53. Oh, maybe 54. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry,
so right. This price alone, they could, you know, it's $2,500, maybe almost 3,000 gain per Bitcoin, which is not bad. So they now hold 193,000 Bitcoin on their balance sheet. So something that's interesting is the last buy they had enabled them to get to 190,000, an even number.
Mm-hmm.
This time they're getting another 3,000 Bitcoin for for 193,000 Bitcoin in total, another even number. It just seems funny because typically when I buy Bitcoin, I have X, you know, whatever cash I have, I use to buy Bitcoin, and whatever number comes out at the end, that's what I have in Bitcoin. But these guys are going the opposite. They're saying, I want to get this amount of Bitcoin and whatever cash is needed to buy it, they'll do that. It seems like an interesting way of doing things. And it's not like they're trying to send a message, a hidden message. Maybe they're trying to send a message to people saying, look, we're doing something here that's interesting. But it just, it's funny about this. And the second thing I got to mention is their Twitter account, X account, was briefly compromised.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show you, it's a good thing that they don't have custody of their Bitcoin. If they did, like, what sort of security do they have? I said that to you.
I'm like, fuck, Len, you were right. It's probably a good idea.
It really is.
Yeah.
Not to say that everybody should, but the fact that they can't manage their X account, Twitter account, they shouldn't be able to manage 193,000 Bitcoin. That company would have been fucking bankrupt if that happened. If that Bitcoin is gone, there's no way to recover. Absolutely no way to recover.
Sad. I like the Sailor buys though. Maybe he's buying is he buying like a percentage? I have to look back at his buys and see if there's a pattern, but is he buying a percentage of like, you know, the mined supply of over the last 6 months, quarter, whatever? I really have no idea.
No, it's I was looking at this before. It was always like an high or low. Like it's very, very like sometimes it's five figures Bitcoin. And sometimes even three figures Bitcoin. So he's less than 1,000. So there's no rhyme or reason to this. It's just,
I don't know.
It just, he did pumping in money and buying it. But the last two buys were even amounts. Or at least this one's an even amount. The last one got them to an even amount. I find
he issued debt, right? For this one, I'm pretty sure.
I don't know how they did it.
I'm pretty sure he does it for almost everything, but I'm pretty sure he issued debt and not equity for this one. I'd have to look, but anyway, yeah. I mean, he's going to keep going. Where's he going to stop? 200,000?
Never.
What's enough, right? The answer is exactly, it's never enough. So why would he stop?
What was that thing we saw today? Somebody was posting in our chat. They've made, I think it was in their chat, they made more in the Bitcoin gains in the past little while than their company would in the next 6 years.
Yeah, Pish so posted like that. Yeah.
A few weeks, they've earned
SB,
more.
Yeah, SB has a thing. Next time he comes on, I should ask him to go into details. I don't know if he could because I think he does this obviously for work. So, but he has a calculation for what he calls the MSTR Bitcoin premium. What is the company worth without the Bitcoin on the balance sheet in terms of like Sailor at the helm, the assumption they're going to keep issuing debt, blah, blah, blah. And so SB is sharp. We know that. But if he's willing to share that, I would like to talk to him about it because it'd be interesting, right? Like what if he, and we talked about this when he was on last, you know, if Sailor knows that his software company is kind of, I don't want to say bogus, but it's certainly not the flagship attraction anymore over at MSTR. Mm-hmm. Then why would he just not keep devaluing the stock in favor of getting the Bitcoin on the balance sheet? And also, when the Bitcoin, like when the FASB rules kick in and he does his first, like, you know, what's your company worth? Oh, it's worth, so terrible. Yeah. Like, what is that going to look like? It's going to be gangbusters, right? So,
it's all works well because the price of Bitcoin has been on a steady rise since, I guess you could say for the past year and change.
Ish.
So if it was the inverse, obviously we'd look at this a little bit differently.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Joey, I think that we should wrap up the Bitcoin side and move on to the other notable stuff.
Good job. A lot of notable stories this week. We'll be talking about just how notable things have become. And So if you're with us on video here, just hang in, stay tuned. We'll be, you know, back in 0 seconds because we don't actually take a break. Through the magic of audio editing and releasing the podcast episodes at different times, it sounds like we're taking a break. So thanks for hanging in. See you in 1 minute.
Yeah, don't be a cuck. Are you a fan of the old school NHL 94 game on the Genesis or SNES? Why not check out my show, the NHL 94 Podcast, from tournaments and tactics to the people who make up this community. Check it out wherever you listen to podcasts or find it on YouTube.